You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
All right, Rev Church, everybody say, woo! Find somebody around you and say, it's good to see you at church today, brother. Go ahead. Good to see you. Look at the person on the other side and say, I'm even glad you're here. Go ahead. Even glad you're here. Man, what an incredible season at Revolution Church that we are having. God is just, man, we baptized 9 people today. I think it's 9. I'm pretty sure it's 9. Isn't that awesome? Let's give God a hand for that again. People getting saved like crazy after second service last week. A guy got saved in the hallway and was baptized today. And if you missed the announcement last week, we're actually going to be planting a church in the next year in the 865 area code in the Knoxville area. So just a really sweet time. Yeah, man, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Really incredible time to be a part of Revolution Church. Well, I got to tell you, that ends. We're going to be taking a break from that for the next 30 minutes as I preach this sermon. This is a sermon that preachers do not want to preach, but honestly, I've never heard a sermon on the subject that we're going to cover today. We're in the middle of the book of Proverbs, and what we like to do at this church, if you're visiting, the majority of the time, is keep it pretty simple. We believe the Bible is good enough by itself, and it's entertaining enough by itself, and we don't need to try to hook you with something fancy. We preach through books of the Bible, verse by verse, or large passages of Scripture, and we've been in the book of Proverbs, which is a little different for us because it's written in what's called Hebrew poetry. So instead of just doing expository preaching verse by verse, what we've done the majority of this sermon is we've taken subjects that seem to be sprinkled throughout the book of Proverbs and preached on a subject and dealt with all the verses that are talked about in the book of Proverbs. Today, I'm going to preach a sermon that we can all relate to. Every single person in here most likely has struggled with it. Hence, while we're taking a break from the fun for the next 30 minutes, and if you have rocks in your pocket, throw them down and don't stone me, okay? Because I'm going to preach a sermon entitled Society's Most Acceptable Sin. Now, if I give you that title, what do you think I'm preaching on? Gluttony. Some of y'all have already heard it, and I told y'all a few weeks ago that I was going to preach on it. Reminds me of a story where the famous preacher D.L. Moody and the famous preacher Charles Spurgeon, who were good friends, got together one time, and D.L. Moody was going to preach for Spurgeon at his church. And he was going to stay the night at Spurgeon's house the night before he preached. And he got there, he knocked on the door, and Charles Spurgeon answered the door. The great preacher Spurgeon answered the door with a cigar in one hand and a glass of brandy in the other hand. D.L. Moody looked at him. Calm down there. D.L. Moody looked at him, and he said, "How can you be a man of God and do that?" Well, as the story goes, Spurgeon set his brandy down, stuck his finger in the rather rotund stomach of D.L. Moody, and said, "How can you be a man of God and do that?" We can all relate to the sin of gluttony because of the culture that we live in. I was like this week thinking about this sermon, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for letting me preach this sermon. I'm already so excited about this, and I get to preach it the week of the fair when we've all ate deep-fried Oreos and deep-fried Twinkies and all that stuff. This is great. This is wonderful. Twinkies. By show of hands, how many people in here have ever heard a sermon even preached on gluttony? Raise your hand. Majority of the room. This is the most hand. How about this? In person. Raise your hand. Not online. Okay. This is the most amount of hands that's raised in any service. 90-95% of us have never even heard this subject breached in church on a Sunday because as it is society's most acceptable sin, it's also a very acceptable sin in the church because the church is known for potlucks. How many of y'all ever been to a potluck before? Raise your hand. When you were growing up, we don't do that much anymore now because everybody's germaphobes and you're like, I'm not eating something grandma made that your gross kids stuck their fingers in, right? We don't do that anymore. We're known for the pizza eating contests at the youth group games, right? We're known for bake-offs and all these different things. And if we're being honest, Hebrews says to imitate your leaders. But for so many pastors, gluttony, the sin of gluttony, is a struggle for them. And many of us don't want to preach on it because the last thing really you need to do is follow the example of some pastors in this area. I was thinking about how Satan's favorite secret weapon is food. Think about the first temptation that ever befell man. What did Satan use to tempt Adam and Eve? Food. The first temptation that Jesus himself experienced, what did Satan use? Food. There's a reason 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So many of us don't realize that in the area of enjoying food, we're supposed to glorify God in that. We're supposed to glorify God in every area of our life, and eating is no different. Now, gluttony defined, I'm going to give you several definitions today, but let me give you one just to start with. Gluttony is defined as this, and it actually has tentacles that reach into three areas, not just the area of food. Listen to this Bible definition. The overindulging or lack of self-control in food, drink, or wealth. Food, drink, or wealth. Now, we're going to take a 30,000-foot view of drinking and wealth because, quite honestly, we've already preached on these two things. But what do you think of when you think of gluttony? What is the image that pops in your head? I know one image that I think of because I was raised in the 80s is I think of Jabba the Hutt. Does anybody know who that is from Star Wars? Man, what a visual representation of that. If you read the Bible, there are several instances where Bible tells stories about people that struggle with gluttony, and as you're going to see today, so many verses that deal with gluttony. But the first story that I think of is one that's found in the book of Judges about a king named King Eglon. King Eglon is described in the scripture as a man who struggled with gluttony and a very fat man, and it says, in fact, that Ehud, the judge, stabbed King Eglon, and the knife that he used, the folds of the fat of King Eglon, engulfed the knife. Like, you can't make this stuff up. The Bible is awesome. It says all kinds of awesome stories and stuff like that. And if you read that story further, I would encourage you to go read it when you go home today because it's so awesome. It says that when King Eglon got stabbed, his bowels emptied. Where this was a guy that ate a whole lot, so when his bowels emptied, it smelled very bad, and the two guards that were outside of his room started to converse about the smell that was coming. And I just pictured in my head as the two guards saying, man, what did he eat, man? Is that Taco Bell? Like, what is going on in there tonight, man? Man, it's really bad today, you know? Like, awesome story. Awesome story. Well, gluttony includes food, but it also is this overindulgence in wealth or in drink. Greed is a selfish desire for something, specifically material things. And gluttony in its purest form really can be defined as excess in many things. This is why Jesus said that we need to guard ourselves against all kinds of greed, is what he says in the Gospels. Well, one of those forms of greed can be found in gluttony. Also, gluttony is also connected to alcohol. Now, we did a sermon on alcohol out of the book of Proverbs about 2 months ago. We would encourage you, we gave a very balanced view on what the Bible says about alcohol. But in Proverbs 23, it says that being an alcoholic, struggling with drinking too much, is directly connected to, as it puts it, gorging yourself on meat or being a glutton. And it specifically says drunkards and gluttons become poor. So we know that gluttony, we know this for fact today because statistics bear this out, is tied directly to poverty cultures. In fact, let me just read one statistic to you. The stats are following what the Bible knew was true thousands of years ago. We know this, that states with more than 35% of people living in poverty have a 145% higher rate of obesity than richer states. So clearly, gluttony includes these two areas, but the main area that we're going to spend the majority of our time on today, and man, everybody say, I'm with you, Pastor. Everybody say it. Say, I'm with you, Pastor. Okay, lie if you have to. Everybody say, we love you, Pastor. Where we're going to spend our time today is gluttony as it pertains to food. Food. And I'm going to share some of my personal struggles in this area and be very transparent with you in this area. Aquinas, the theologian, defined gluttony as an inordinate desire for food that goes beyond reasonableness and therefore departs from goodness. Bernard Shaw says, there is no love more sincere than the love of food. How many of y'all know that's true? Everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. I kept thinking this week about Christmas tree cakes, Little Debbie's at Christmas time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I love them. The problem comes in when you love those Christmas tree cakes more than you love Jesus. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that eating too much is a sin. Instead, what we're given is warnings about food. And there is an assumption that eating too much can become the sin of gluttony in our life. And hopefully by the end of the day, you're going to have a good definition of what gluttony actually means. Gluttony really, in its purest form, is seen as a lack of self-control, which self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. One of the evidences that you're walking in the Spirit, you're being led by the Holy Spirit, is that you have self-control in every area of your life. But let me make this clear. Food is not bad. Food is not evil. Little Debbie's aren't evil. Amen. Those Christmas tree cakes aren't evil. Processed sugars aren't evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 says, eat your food and enjoy it. Amen, Rev Church? Eat your food and enjoy it. Drink your wine and be happy because that is what God wants you to do. I love that. How many times have you been told, like, when you eat, God wants you to enjoy it. When you drink, God wants you to enjoy it. This is one of the reasons we pray before we eat, is because it's meant to give us perspective. It's meant to get us back on track. Like, when you're eating out, you say, God, thank you so much for this food. I'm going to try to glorify you as I eat these nachos. Amen, Rev Church? Thank you so much for the cheese that's on top and all the things. We're going to be hungry by the time we get over this, right? Amen? So food is not evil. Food is neutral in itself. Food is something that God gave us to enjoy. But if we're not careful, food can become gluttony. It's very similar to every other good thing God has given us. There's all kinds of good things that God gives that can turn into sin. For instance, sex. The Bible talks about how sex is incredible. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Do y'all want me to go off on this? Come on now, y'all. Everybody's like, are we allowed to say amen about this one? Sex is great. The Bible makes it clear you're to glorify God with sex. It's supposed to be full of joy, incredible in the context that it's meant to be in. In a heterosexual marriage between a husband and a wife, sex can be one of the greatest things in your life, but you have to be careful with sex because it can become lust. Someone praising you is not a bad thing. We've talked about this in Proverbs. Let other people praise you. It can boost your confidence, but it can become the sin of seeking your own glory. Rest in Sabbath is a wonderful thing. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to rest. We're supposed to take a Sabbath. Jesus said, God created the Sabbath, not for God, but for man. It's good for us, but if we're not careful, rest in Sabbath can become the sin of slothfulness. Self-respect is a good thing, but if you're not careful, it can quickly become the sin of pride. Desiring something innocent, man, I'd like to have a car that doesn't break down every month. I'd love to have a house that my family and I can fit in. Those are not bad things, but if you're not careful, it can become the sin of covetousness or envy. And food is no different. Desire for food in itself is not sinful, but you have to be very careful because it can become sinful gluttony. One definition of gluttony is it's defined as the sinful enjoyment of the good gift of food. Food is a gift from God, but gluttony is the sinful enjoyment of that. So the idea that we're going to see in the book of Proverbs is the love of food, alcohol, or material things should never be allowed to overshadow the love of other more important things, specifically Jesus and your relationship with God. Proverbs tells us two clear things about gluttony. Number one, it tells us that eating too much will make you sick. Everybody say sick. Proverbs 25:16, I love Proverbs because it's so straight to the point. I love just how it says things like straight up. It says, if you find honey, eat just enough, too much of it, and you will vomit. Everybody look at your neighbor and go, ugh. I love that it says that. I love how it gives us this visual image in the book. You can just picture somebody throwing up a bunch of honey. Probably wondering why I'm wearing a Yankees jersey. It's because my son loves Aaron Judge, and I may have already told y'all this in another sermon, but 2 weeks ago, we went to New York City, and we saw two Yankees games, and it was incredible. And I love New York City for the Yankees games and the sporting events and all that stuff, but probably my favorite thing about New York City, I bet y'all can guess what it is. It is the pizza. The food in general in New York City is incredible. Well, my wife and I went to New York City earlier this year, and we found this place called, I don't want to butcher the name, but Casa Toscana. And this place has what is now my favorite donut in the entire world. It is a donut that is filled with Nutella, or Nutella, or however you say it. I don't know. I'm a redneck. We say it that way in Crossville. Amen, y'all. And so it's filled with Nutella, and then it's dipped in sugar, and it's got Nutella smeared all over the top. They put it in the oven before they give it to you, and y'all, I'm telling you, it'll make you slap your mama for not feeding it to you before. It is the best donut I've ever had in my life. Well, we found this place earlier this year, so when my son and I went for the Yankees game 2 weeks ago. The very first thing we did when we hopped off the plane at LaGuardia is we jumped on the subway, we went and got a slice of pizza, and then we went and found this place called Casa Toscana so we could eat a Nutella-filled donut. This is a picture of my son stuffing his face with a Nutella-filled donut, and I'm telling you what, y'all, man, food is a good thing. I was praising God while I was eating that thing. It was incredible. Now, when we read this verse, what does it say? If you find honey, eat just enough, too much of it, and you will vomit. That really doesn't relate to us today. I mean, who eats enough honey to where they vomit in our culture today? That's not how we use honey. So if you would allow me to, let me rephrase this verse. Here's how it relates to us today. If you find Casa Toscana Nutella filled hot out of the oven ooey gooey incredible donuts, eat just enough, too much of it, and you will get sick. Fill in the blank for whatever it is that you love the most. The idea from this passage is moderation. This verse is telling us that moderation when it comes to food is preferred instead of overconsumption. If you'll allow me to make another connection to the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Again, moderation, being content with what God gives you, is what it's speaking about in 1 Timothy 6. The context of this, though, is not with food, it's actually with money. And you can make some parallels to money and food. Actually, it says godliness with contentment is great gain in verse 6. But if you bump down to verse 10, it says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now think about money. Money in itself is not evil. Money is a tool that God can actually bless you with. Money is neutral. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. The attitude we have towards money is what is evil. The spirit that we have towards money is evil. The place that money has in our life, as far as priorities go, is what can become evil when it's above Jesus and when it's above your relationship with God. It's very similar to food. Food in itself is not evil. Food is a tool that God gives us that's meant for our enjoyment. It's neutral. So what we could do is we could take this passage and we could rephrase it like this to try to get us to better understand what gluttony is saying. The love of not money, but food for some of us is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for food, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. All good things, when they start to go bad, start to replace God's contentment place in your life. That's what gluttony is. Using food for your contentment instead of turning to God for your contentment. Now, let me make this very clear. When I talk about gluttony, I know the images in our head is Jabba the Hutt and those types of things, but gluttony is not just indicative of body fat percentage or body mass index. All different people have all different metabolisms, have all different body types. And some of the leanest people that I've ever met in my life are people that struggle with gluttony. I'm a gym rat and I like to work out, and so I know several bodybuilders, and some of the bodybuilders I know are some of the leanest people I've ever met. They're sub 10%, some of them maybe sub 5% body fat, but they are obsessed with food. Gluttony is a real problem in their life. Every hour, every 2 hours, they're thinking about, what am I eating? It's all they ever think about, and it's almost like worshiped like a god. So it's not just unhealthy food that defines gluttony. Healthy food can become gluttony just like unhealthy food can. Does that make sense to everybody? Say amen. So remember, we do not judge on outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And just keep in mind that Jesus himself was even accused of being a glutton in the Gospels, and he didn't struggle with it. So we're not talking about just an outward appearance thing here. We're talking about a symptom of a bigger problem. Gluttony is a symptom of a problem you have with having contentment in God. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is explaining what's referred to as people that are, he calls them this, enemies of the cross of Christ. Listen to what he says. He says, "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." Now I want you to listen to the attributes Paul gives people that are enemies of the cross of Christ. Listen to this. Like, these scriptures blew my mind this week because I've never really looked at this subject. I've certainly never heard anybody preach on it. You know why pastors don't preach on this? Because they want to keep their job. Okay, also, that's why, okay? He says, enemies of the cross of Christ. Some people live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And then listen to these attributes. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Clearly, one of those earthly things is food. Their God is their stomach. But our citizenship is in heaven. Praise Jesus. Amen, Rev Church? Amen. I know this ain't a good news sermon, but that's good news right there. Our citizenship is in heaven. Can we give a proper response for that? Amen, Rev Church? Amen. Praise God for that. Man, we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about going on diets no more. We don't have to worry about body mass index anymore. We don't have to. Are y'all looking forward to that? Because I am. I'm about to tell y'all how I've struggled with it my whole life. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul pens these words, and it's the same Paul that penned the words, "I have to discipline my body and bring it into submission, so that I can run the race the way God wants me to run the race and glorify God in every area of my life." Secondly, Proverbs takes it a step further. Not only will eating too much make you sick, eating too much will kill you. It will kill you. Everybody look at your neighbor and go like that. Gotta just look at them and go. Takes it a step further. The only sin in the Bible that this is said, listen, put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. And could you imagine if that was like the slogan of Weight Watchers? Y'all know what I'm saying? Knife to your throat. Wow. Again, science and human beings are catching up to what God has always known as true. And he lays this out in his word that essentially what it's saying is eating too much will kill you. We know today that eating too much causes all kinds of problems that will kill you. Let me give you a list of just a few: cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, musculoskeletal disorders, breathing issues, cancer, gallstones, gallbladder disease, fatty liver disease, reproductive dysfunction. It's linked to certain psychiatric conditions like clinical depression and anxiety, high blood pressure, osteoarthritis, sleep apnea, stroke, just to name a few. When we talk about what we know and we connect it in the New Testament to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Corinthians tells us that when you get saved, now your body houses the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, God Himself. And at that point, your body becomes holy. And then what it really does is it restates Romans chapter 12, verse 1 in this Corinthians passage that says, the least we can do, the least we can do once we get saved, once we realize Jesus has saved us from an eternity in hell, once we realize Jesus is with us forever and always, so we never have to walk through our life alone again, the least we can do is offer our bodies, as Romans 12 says, a living sacrifice. Now, in the church in America, we know that that means you're supposed to serve people. We know that offering your body as a living sacrifice means you evangelize to people when God gives you the opportunity. We know it means you be a good wife, you be a good husband, you be a good Christian, you be a good church member. But have we ever considered that offering your body as a living sacrifice also includes the consumption of food, how we enjoy food, how we glorify God with the things that we eat? Additionally, Ezekiel chapter 16 speaks about the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody's heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you polled most people think that the only prevalent sin that was in Sodom and Gomorrah was homosexuality, was sodomy. Actually, Ezekiel 16 gives us a list of three additional sins that were very prevalent. In Ezekiel 16, it says the sins of Sodom were pride, laziness, and what do you guys think the third one was? Gluttony. Wow. I read that this week and I was like, what? Specifically, gluttony when there are people outside the gates that are starving to death. Selfishness. No self-control, just selfishness. If we're being honest, some of us need to just recognize that gluttony is a pet sin. And what I mean by pet sin is there is not a person under the sound of my voice right now that, even if you're saved, does not struggle in some area still in your life. It's one of the reasons why in the lobby we've got painted, biggest sign in the whole building. I have y'all repeat it almost every week. What does it say, y'all? No perfect people allowed. Every one of us has a sin or multiple sins. Like your preacher, he's got about 3, 5, maybe 10 of them that I struggle with constantly, okay? It's not just one. I don't have one pet sins. I got like a house full of cats. You know what I mean? Like a bunch of crazy minions that drive me crazy. Y'all know what I'm saying? Because cats are going to hell if you didn't know that. And so I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to make y'all laugh because I'm trying to make this as less uncomfortable than it already is, because you can hear a pin drop in here because y'all are all judging me. And some of y'all have your phones out and you've already typed your email out and you're just waiting until service is over to send it to me and hate on me. And I know how it is. So, but a pet sin, what I mean by that is a sin that you struggle with constantly. Ever since you can remember, you've struggled with this thing. For some of you, it's lust. For some of you, it's lying. For some of you, it's pride. But for some of us, it's gluttony. For me, ever since my parents got divorced, when I was in third or fourth grade, gluttony has been one of the vices and one of the sins that I've constantly struggled with. I know. I know you look at me now and you think, wow, You're so buff, Pastor. You look so chiseled. A little too much laughing there. That was a little too loud there, y'all, okay? So, especially on this side. Somebody whistling at me, I don't know. I'm built for show, not to go. Just remember that, okay? So, I don't know what I'm doing up here. But you need to know that I've struggled with this. This is a picture of me when I was in seventh grade. Back then, we didn't have camera phones, so there wasn't a whole lot of pictures. But that was me in seventh grade. I weighed 250 pounds. Those are a pair of boxers somebody got me for Christmas. And you could have made parachutes out of them. You know what I mean? Like, I was a big guy. Because like I said, ever since third or fourth grade, I was drowning my sorrows in food, dealing with my parents' divorce by eating, dealing with life by eating. It really had become a god in my life. And in high school, I got all the way up to 320 pounds. 320 pounds. I got saved when I was 18, lost a bunch of weight, but honestly, still struggled with my relationship with food up until about 5 years ago. Up until 5 years ago, I was the one that was always starting a diet on Monday. I'll start eating clean tomorrow. I'll eat everything I want right now and be a glutton tonight, but tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to be on it, boy. Can anybody relate to me? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, that was me every single day. Man, all I thought about was food. All I thought about was how I can't get big again. I can't, you know, blow up like I was in high school again. And I struggled greatly with gluttony. I was chained to food. I mean, the enemy really had a hold of me. Like I said, up until about maybe 5 years ago, at some point, God really set me free from it, and I finally have a healthy relationship with food where I enjoy it, and I try my best to worship God as I enjoy it. Like when I'm eating that donut I showed you, it's like, man, thank you, Jesus. I'm praising God for it. Y'all know what I mean? Because the donut's not the enemy. It's my flesh that's the enemy. It's my flesh that wants more. It's my flesh that's never satisfied. And it was my flesh that was, I don't know how to put it other than, you know, I was chained to the donuts, y'all. Y'all know what I mean? I mean, the enemy had me, just had chains around me, man. We need to sell these, don't we? I made this myself. That's kind of cool. Y'all are going to be like, hey, can I get that? Sell them at the fair, somebody said. Y'all are really talkative this service. This is good. I like this. So that was me. And I struggled. So I get it. I know what it's like for so many of us. When, as Paul puts it, the very thing you hate, the thing you know you struggle with, the thing you know you can't get control of, it's the thing that you do over over and over. You just don't know what to do. John Piper says this. I love some of his wisdom on this subject. He says, gluttony happens because contentment in God fades and food starts to take his place. Gluttony is a symptom of something greater. It's a symptom of somewhere you're using food to replace the contentment that only God can give. He gives four signs that you might struggle with gluttony. Number one, he says, you might struggle with gluttony when we become unconcerned with the harmful effects food is having on the temple of the Holy Spirit, our body. God bless you. So literally, the doctor's telling you, you're going to have problems, and you're just completely unconcerned. You stopped caring. For whatever reason, you just are unconcerned. Number two, we become unconcerned on how we are unwisely stewarding our money on unhealthy foods. We always say this at Revolution Church, that there's two things that if you show me your calendar, where you spend your time, and your bank account, where you spend your money, I can tell you what it is you love the most in your life, what you worship the most in your life, and what is most important to you, where you spend your time and money. So what he's saying is, if all your time is spent getting food, thinking about food, spending all your bandwidth driving to food places, whatever. And then all, like, you look at your bank account and the majority of your money is going towards that, you might have a problem. Number three, and this is where I started when my parents got a divorce, we start using food as medication. You start to use food as medication. Again, a symptom of a deeper problem. Instead of using Jesus to get you through, you use the donuts to deal with life, to escape from your problems. Number four, another last warning sign, we stop enjoying food as a way to enjoy God. Some of y'all have never heard this before. You've never heard in a church, nobody's ever looked at you and said, food is a wonderful thing and we should glorify God when we eat. You've never even considered that. I've never heard anybody say this. Never heard a preacher say this before. But the food you enjoy, you're supposed to glorify God when you enjoy it. And so what happens, what John Piper is saying is, when food becomes an idol and gluttony becomes a sin, you stop tasting the goodness of God in every bite. And it becomes something different. The only way out of gluttony is really the only way you can be set free from any sin. And I speak from experience with this. Hey, Weight Watchers is great. And diets are great and all this stuff. You could read a book and it could be wonderful. But I'm telling you right now, the only way out of gluttony is through God using His Son Jesus Christ, filling you with the Holy Spirit and setting you free from this sin. Jesus is the only, I don't mean to be cheesy when I say this, but He is the only soul food. The issue is spiritual. The issue is in your soul. It's not in just a physical addiction. It's not just in those things. And I'll tell you this, like for me, I just could not. I hugged food like nothing else, y'all. Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, for me, and I'm using donuts, it's like my favorite food. This was it. And I held tight to it. And again, up until several years ago, just 5 or 6 years ago, man, this was my thing. This was my struggle. This is what I had a hard time with. And I had to come to the realization that I had a choice. I was either going to hold this or I was going to hold this. Let me tell y'all something. I'll close with this. If Jesus has the power to heal blind eyes, if Jesus has the power to raise people from the dead, if Jesus has the power to defeat death, hell, and the grave, if Jesus has the power to save you from eternity in hell, to set you free, to walk with you the rest of your life, here's what I realized. Jesus has the power to make Josh Cardwell drop the donuts and get the chains off my life. Jesus has the power to make you drop the donut. Jesus has the power to give you the strength to be obedient. So the only thing that you're clinging to is the cross. You're clinging to Him. Does that make sense, Rev Church? Everybody say amen? Amen. Okay, good. Y'all aren't going to throw rocks at me or nothing like that, okay? Let me pray for you guys, okay? We're going to get done about 5 minutes, or don't throw donuts at me either because I'll eat 100 of them, okay? So I got to watch it. We're getting done about 5 minutes early because I don't want to preach any longer than I'm supposed to on this subject. Amen, y'all? Y'all been great. Let me pray for you. Lord, we love you. I thank you for every person that's in here. God, I thank you for a church of people that are so patient with me, that are so loving, but that most of all want to hear what your word teaches us to do. We couldn't do justice to a Proverbs series without talking about the sin of gluttony. God, I pray that we wouldn't run away from hard things, but that we would run towards them in the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray for myself in this area, God, because I am not foolish and ignorant to the schemes of the enemy. I know that this is a pet sin that I have struggled with my whole life, and I could fall right back into it. So God, protect me. Give me the strength to be obedient in the area of the things that I eat and consume. Help me not to become materialistic. Help us not to become alcoholic. And God, help us to keep food in its proper place. I pray that we've been clear today. I pray that we've been very clear that it's not the kind of food that is sinful. It is the attitude we have towards it. And that when all we think about is where we're eating next, and we wake up in the morning thinking about what we're going to eat before we think about Christ, and we go to bed, we're trying to find a snack, and we're not thinking about Jesus, and all day long, we're driving and going here and going there, and it's all about food. Our culture is filled with this gluttony sin, God. I just pray that it would break. I pray you give me the power, or not the power, but the strength to be obedient through the power of your Holy Spirit, to not sin in this area. We love you, Lord. You are awesome and you are mighty. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you guys. I'll see y'all at Cracker Barrel. You're dismissed.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.